Thank you, Brother Tallis. It is a blessing for me to be here at Home Baptist Church once again. I always appreciate the opportunity to preach and the opportunity to be here. Thank the Lord for you and for all of you who pray for us. And those of you who demonstrate your love of the Lord by serving Him faithfully where the Lord's placed you. Many people have asked me to point out my wife, so I'll ask her to stand if she will. She doesn't really like me to do that, but there she is. I started to say that's my first wife. Brother Clark said I got him in trouble once. I'll go ahead and say that's the only one I've ever had, okay? I invite your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we have the mandate of missions. That is to evangelize, baptize, and to teach those who are saved, baptized, teach them to observe the all things of the Word of God. Jesus, as He was speaking to His church, came and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." May we bow once again, a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Fathers, I bow in your presence at this hour. I do thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for your love, wherewith you loved us with an everlasting love. Not because we were deserving, but because it pleased you. We do thank you, Lord, for sending the gospel to us, calling us to salvation that's in your Son. I do ask you, Lord, to help me tonight to be a blessing to your people, to magnify your wonderful name. I ask you, Lord, to set a watch before my mouth, and may, Heavenly Father, you keep me from saying anything to be contrary to thy word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you may bless this people, every concern that they may have, the joys that they experience, the burdens that they have, and Father, that you be with them and cause them to know that thou art God, and beside thee there is none other. I ask you, Lord, to bless all those who shall be speaking to this conference. All who shall attend, may, Lord, you give liberty to preach and ears to hear. I ask you, Lord, to help me now at this hour, for I confess that I can do nothing without you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you may cause that to be more than just mental assent. But may, Lord, it be a deep realization in my soul and my heart. And may you cause me to depend upon thee. I ask you now to use me for your honor and for your glory. For it is in the name of Jesus that I pray, and for His sake I do ask it. Amen. We find here in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus was giving the charge of the commission to His church. And we have the mandate of missions, that we are to do in carrying out the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go preach. And baptize those that are saved, and to teach those who are baptized. But tonight I'd like to speak to you on the where, the what, and the why of missions. The where, the what, and the why of missions. He did command us in Matthew 28. I wanted to read those passages to show that Jesus did give a mandate for missions, and He gave that commission to His church. Now, as we think about what He's charged us to do and to where now that He's told us to go, He said to go and teach all nations. And that's where we're to go, into all nations. Then in the book of Mark, chapter 16, and in verse 15, we find that He said unto His disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So the gospel, the work of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be done in every nation, and the preaching of the gospel is to be preached to every creature. And we find sometimes that people get an emphasis on one area or another of the preaching of the gospel, the grace of God. And I don't know why that we have an emphasis of. Now, sometimes we hear of home missions and foreign missions, and the Bible knows nothing of a division, but the preaching of the gospel to every creature in every nation. We find Jesus speaking in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, and speaks to us of that very clearly. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus, in giving the charge and giving the instruction, said to go into all nations, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, when that ye receive power, and they were waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem's where they were. The uttermost part of the earth as far as they could go. And that symbolizes going from where that you are to as far as you can go and all the places in between. So our charge and our commission is to preach the gospel to every creature in every nation. I believe that you and I ought to have a desire to see a New Testament church planted in every village, every hamlet, in every city, in every nation of the world. Because that people need to hear the gospel of the grace of God. Because that folks who are saved need to be able to assemble and submit themselves for scriptural baptism. Because that folks ought to be able to assemble in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and observe the ordinances. The folks ought not to have to make a choice between lesser of evils in selecting a church to attend, but we ought to have a desire to have a church of the Lord Jesus Christ within easy accessibility of every person who has a desire to assemble themselves and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We find the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that one who, during His earthly ministry, that just kind of sat around, but He was in the villages. He was in the towns. He was in the outlying areas. He preached, and He preached, and He preached repentance and remission of sins. And so we find that Jesus Himself set the example. And then Jesus gave the commission. Jesus gave the orders. Jesus gave the authority. And Jesus gave the power to do the work that He's called us to do. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, and in verse 28, we find an example of the kind of zeal that we ought to have. A model of missionary zeal, if you will. Where that we find the apostles who were brought before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, the members there, were saying, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now the apostles had been commanded to not preach in the name of Jesus. They were commanded not to preach the things concerning the Lord Christ. And they were brought before the Sanhedrin for disobeying that injunction. And the charge and the testimony how the Sanhedrin was that you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Peter answered, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." There are people and there are folks who do not desire to have the gospel of the grace of God preached in their villages, in their hamlets, and in their cities. There are religious orders who do not desire to have the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God and to see New Testament churches planted. But you and I ought to, because we ought to obey God rather than men. And we find in the book of Acts, chapter 8 and in verse 4, there was the church at Jerusalem. And we find they were seemingly content to go from house to house, and they fellowshiped in the apostles' doctrine, and that was wonderful, but their commission was to go ye into all nations. They weren't consciously carrying that out, and persecution came upon the church.
And we find in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The thing about folks who are saved by the grace of God and who know the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of His resurrection is that persecution and pressure will not cause us to cease to be faithful to the Word of God, but it seems to produce in us a renewed zeal and will always drive us to the source of our strength and to the truth of the message of the Word of God. It seems that the persecution at the church at Jerusalem had an opposite effect of what persecution or pressure has upon some men today. And that is, we find today that oftentimes when pressure comes, so often people seem to fold when it comes to the precious truth of the Word of God. But when pressure came and persecution came upon the church at Jerusalem, what did it do? It drove them to the source of their strength to depend upon Him and to do what He commanded them to do. I really believe it will do that for God's people today. But you and I have the charge. We have the commission. We have the authority. And we have the empowerment as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should not be satisfied until there is a church in every village, every hamlet, and every city, and all the world, so that folks can hear the gospel, so that the folks who are saved by the grace of God can have a place to assemble where they can invite others to come and hear and be instructed, where they can go out from by the authority of that church, where folks can assemble and observe the ordinances and learn of the old things that He's commanded us and taught us to do. Amen. And we ought to have a zeal, and I believe that God does place in our hearts a zeal and a desire to get the gospel, to plant churches, and to teach those to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us. In the book of Acts chapter 19, we find that Paul, as he had come into, he was at Corinth, and then having passed through the upper coast, came into Ephesus. He came among some folks. He asked them, had they been baptized, into what they'd been baptized. And Apollos said, and they'd been baptized unto, some of them said to him, we've been baptized unto John's baptism. But the point I wanted to make was that Paul, when he came into the area of the city of Ephesus, Paul immediately began to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Not only how that Jesus Christ died to save sinners and how there was salvation in none other, but he insisted that folks ought to submit to scripture baptism. He taught them those things. Amen. Scriptural mission work and the right kind of mission work and the kind of mission work that the scripture authorizes and empowers us to do insist upon the whole counsel of God. It is not a matter of concluding that we have a right to lay down some things that we might broaden our ministry. But Paul, he was going into Ephesus. He preached not only how that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, but he preached about scripture baptism. You know what? There were some folks there who heard. There were some folks who wanted to know more about it. There were some folks who submitted to it. And so we find the example that Paul gave us there is of a zeal not only of preaching how that Christ died for sinners, but he had a zeal to teach those same folks how to serve God acceptably so that he might be glorified in his church. You see, our goal in life is to do all that we do for the glory of God. As other folks hear the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God and they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, it's our desire to see them serve Him in a manner that brings glory to Him. He said, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so the model of missionary zeal not only gives us a picture of one with a great zeal of the preaching of the gospel and a willingness to suffer for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he died and was buried and raised again the third day, but insisting that we ought to serve him in a manner that's acceptable. So we have the model of that in the book of Acts and other places in Scripture. And so when we think of the where of missions, the Bible is very clear. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In every nation, to every creature. He was very specific in the telling us of where to preach. And we do not tell us that he will save every creature, but we're to preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? You and I ought to be encouraged by the very statement of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 or 15, where it is said that we preach, when we preach Christ, we make known the gospel of Christ, that we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we're the savor of life unto life, and to the other the savor of death unto death. But in every case, we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't matter to us and that our heart shouldn't burn and have a compassion to see men believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I have the commission, we have the charge, we have the authority, we have the empowerment to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God himself has the power and the authority to save whom he pleases to save. But it's my responsibility and yours to do all that we do for the glory of God. And when that we preach Christ, we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. I know we do get discouraged sometimes, but we have no right to. We do get discouraged sometimes, but we have no reason to. If we are serving him in the manner that he set for us to, and he's well pleased by the sacrifice that's offered, a sacrifice of service that's according to the Scripture. Oh, but I have a desire, don't you, to see folks saved by the grace of God. I have a desire to see folks who want to submit to Scripture baptism, want to be a member of a New Testament church. And that is a desire. That's a prayer of my heart. Oh, but more than anything else in the world, I want to be faithful to please him who called me. And I cannot produce that I desire to see happen. But by his grace, and his grace is sufficient because he said that it would, we can be faithful to proclaim the word of God and ask him to give the increase as it pleases him. And so the mission, the where of it, is to every creature in all the world. That is our charge. That is our privilege. That is our responsibility. We cannot have a desire to do any less and be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think of the what of missions, what's involved, as I thought of this, there's so many things that you will probably think of. I'm thinking primarily now of a pioneering ministry and missions. If you heard me preach many times at all, you know that I believe that every member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be a witness where that they are, their responsibility, where they work and where they shop, and this very circle and all the areas of influence they have. They have a responsibility there. I believe that. But then there is what we would term, it's not a scriptural term, pioneering mission, and I explained that. Paul described it as going to the regions beyond. He's talking about going to where the gospel had not been preached. Where there was no established churches. Where there was no believers already who needed someone. But where the gospel had not been preached, to the regions beyond, where other men had not labored. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verses 20 and 21, we find Paul says, So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Then the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, and the first part of that verse, we find these words: to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And Paul had a desire when that he was enabled to preach the gospel to the regions beyond them. And so when we think of that kind of missionary outreach, that kind of missionary work, we think of pioneer missions. We think of going to where there are no established churches, where there are no preaching points, where there are no believers, where there is a need in the regions beyond for a gospel witness. And Paul said he went into the regions beyond. And we find that that kind of mission work is a planting ministry. There must be a planting. What did you do to plant? Preach the Word of God. We find Luke chapter 8 verse 11 says, the seed is the Word of God in the parable of the sower. And so we are to sow the Word of God. We are to plant the seed. We are to declare the Word of God. How that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. How that Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, He's the Lord of lords, He's the King of kings, and I believe present the very demands of discipleship and declare how that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And apparently Philip, when he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, he must have preached something about baptism, because as soon as he had heard about the message of Jesus Christ, and then after a while they came to water, he said, there's much water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? So in that message must have involved something about baptism. And so we go and we preach what thus saith the Word of God. And we find that that kind of ministry, that kind of mission work, is a planning. And you and I, every one of us, have that charge and that responsibility and that privilege. It's also a preparing ministry. I mean, there must be a going into the regions beyond of preaching the gospel where it's not been preached. And then those who are saved are instructing them about the need to submit to scripture baptism. And then the need to instruct them in the all things of the Word of God, preparing them to serve the Lord acceptably according to knowledge. Not with just a zeal for the things of God, but with a zeal according to knowledge. See, you must provide in those regions, must provide the message of the gospel, and also must provide an example and encouragement and the instruction for those who the Lord will raise up to serve Him in that region. I've contemplated this, and I've never been there, but I find the pattern in the Word of God. I'm always interested in talking to men who've gone to the regions beyond and getting from them, gleaning all that I can as I have opportunity, and all of those things, but we always have an example and instruction in the Word of God. I've heard Brother Henderson say that he could teach folks how to raise children, though he never had any, because he had the Word of God. And I believe that we can find out how to do mission work, though we've never been there, because we have the Word of God. And I do know and believe, and do not misunderstand me, we can learn from our brethren. I want to. But the thing of it is, when that you go to the regions beyond, think about it. I mean, they are not established churches. There aren't folks who've grown up around biblical instruction. There is not a residue of biblical knowledge when that they're saved that they can begin to make a spiritual application of those things they've already heard. We're talking about where the gospel's not been preached. And I look over the city of Wollongong in Australia. As far as I can determine, not a single New Testament work in the entire city of 375,000 people. not a true gospel witness in the entire area. And that's where God has called me, to go there and begin to plant, to sow the seed of the Word of God. And I began to have to think about then, what do I do? And I realized that I can't get those new converts around folks who are grounded in the Word of God, or who have some knowledge of the Word of God, who are established in the Word of God. I can't load them up and take them to a week's Bible conference. But the thing of it is that that's a brand new kind of thing. It's a pioneering work. And I must be the example to them. Must be their teacher. Must be one who grounds them in the Word of God. I mean, you're not only the gospel preacher, but you're the teacher. And you're the example. And you're the encourager. What a work, and who's sufficient? I'm not sufficient for that. But thanks be unto God. He encourages us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Amen. But you know, you preach the gospel. You say, we want you to start coming to church. And we will, I believe, we'll either put you in the pastor's class or brother, sister, and so-and-so's class, and that'll be good for you. We want you to be... the Bible study. We want you to send the preaching of the gospel. We want you to fellowship among folks and with folks who can help you. But go to the regions beyond. You have a pioneering ministry. So you must be the example. You must be the encourager. You must be the teacher. And then you realize there's a need for laborers. And we find then it becomes a praying ministry. In the book of Matthew, and of course it always is in every place, we recognize that. Oh, but I tell you, when I think about going to the regions beyond where there are none, and where there are no churches, and where folks, 80% of them profess to be atheists, and where that they have no knowledge of the gospel. And though there have been people in Australia, they haven't filtered down apparently the will of God. We find in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "Then saith he unto his disciples," Jesus speaking, "the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So in the regions beyond, where the gospel's not been preached, when there are a need of laborers, what will you do? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers. And God's began to burden my heart. It's impossible. What I began to do, I began to realize it's impossible to do all the things I'd like to do. I know that God would definitely have me go into the city of Wollongong and preach the gospel, my desire to start a New Testament church. In the last, though I thought of it before, in the last a few weeks and months, I've had an increasing desire. And I mentioned this in the last letter that I wrote. An increasing desire to preach the gospel in the outback. I mean, areas that are isolated. They're ranches or stations where they become self-contained communities. And the religious folk who have to make a good report, in the sense that they have to demonstrate success to be able to stay there, are the folks who are there to make a good showing, are the folks who are there because it's lucrative. They are not going to go to those places because it's a hard place. And oftentimes, little communities of 50 to 60 and 70, men who are hardened, men who are isolated, men and women and families, hundreds of miles between their stations. And God's began to burden my heart for those folks. See, Lord cares about folks, doesn't He? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that folks that in places that a lot of folks would think insignificant, that God burdened somebody's heart for. I think of where I was born, where I grew up. You have to be going there to get there. A little place called Bethlehem. Out on Fox Trap Creek, out of the way. But God put it in somebody's heart. I mean, back when it was cold riding a mule, and it was muddy during the rains, and it was hot during the summer. And when they had to start on Saturday to be there for service on Sunday, and what they generally did in that area then, they traveled on Saturday, so they had Saturday night service, and when they hadn't had preaching Sunday. What I want to say is I'm glad that though that particular area wasn't one that would make a fellow look very successful, and it was a place that was lucrative financially, that God burdened someone's heart. They came to that area. They preached the gospel. The Lord blessed and He saved folks. And a church was planted. And that church preached the gospel. And one day I was there. I heard the preaching of the gospel because that God had put it in someone's heart to go to a place where it wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't produced an aura of success. It wasn't lucrative financially. But God cared enough about me and some other folks whom He'd chosen before the foundation of the world to send someone to preach the gospel to them. I have a burden for those folks. The world really wouldn't care much about them. Folks who need to make a big show can go because it wouldn't look so very successful. It surely wouldn't be worth anything to them financially. But aren't you glad that God brought some folks to believe that He's sovereign? He has an elect people. We have the responsibility to preach to them that He loves us enough to send someone to them. But therein lies a problem. I have a burden. I know as much as I believe I'm called Australia, the Lord of Hammond started working in Wollongong. Yet there's time and distance that separates me from those areas. The solution, I believe, is that God would send more lay people. Cannot be everywhere at the same time. And I know that. So I'm praying already that God would raise up others to go to that part of the world and preach the gospel. I'm also praying that God would enable us by His grace begin that work. And Lord, be pleased to save folks and to teach them. He would raise up laborers out of those folks who have a concern and a love and a compassion. Either preach there and let me go, or He called them to go. The thing about it is, as I contemplate going and I think about that, I realize that you don't pick up the phone and you call and say, you know where there's somebody who could come and help us. Do you know how could two or three come over and have services out in the outback on Sunday afternoon? And then I've concluded and I've learned something new in thinking you can have services out probably Friday night and Thursday night and Monday night if you can't get there on Sundays. So you pray about those folks. The thing of it is, as I contemplate that, I realize that it must be not only a preaching and a teaching, but a praying for laborers. Amen. God would raise them up. I know when I got to Australia and met the pastor there that has been instrumental in getting me into the country, God had burned his heart. Flying in the city on an airplane, looked out the window and saw the lights of the city of Sydney. City of about 4 million people. Said God burdened him as he'd never been burdened before, and he began to pray, Lord, send us laborers. He said, then you turn up on our doorsteps, and I wonder if you'll let us help you. But see, the solution to the problem is not folks traveling 12,000 miles. Oh, it's the solution if that pleases God, if that's the way He's pleased to do it. Oh, but how I desire to preach the gospel, baptize folks, teach them to observe all things, and one of those things is they are ambassadors. They are responsible to go and ask God to raise up laborers to go in those areas, into the regions beyond them. And so we must provide for them the instruction, the teaching, that they may be sound in the faith, an example, that they may conduct themselves correctly, and they may learn to lean upon Him and encourage them and pray for them as they go. Because in that kind of ministry, it's not like having a church on every corner, a place in every city, like some place in the South where that I'm from. Then we think about the why of missions. The where of mission is in all the world, to every nation, to every creature.
And then we find that the what of mission is the preaching of the Word of God, baptizing those that believe, teaching them to observe all things, praying for God to raise up laborers, instructing them, causing by the grace of God, helping them to become sound and established in the faith. And the Bible says for us to do that, faithful men to teach other faithful men. And so I do believe that's another message that I preach, that we only can teach faithful men. I really believe that. But then we must, then the why of missions. Do we do mission work in the regions beyond? In the place where that you work? In the place where that you shop? But as I think particularly going through the regions beyond because it's pleasant? No. But it's an overflowing of the love of God. That's what causes you and me to want to tell others about the wonderful grace of God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. We find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Said, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And so as we experience an overflowing of the Word of God, of the love of God, the love of God compels us, propels us, impels us, moves us to doing that God has called us to do, and to telling others about the wonderful salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why should we? Overflowing of the Word of God. We do it because it was ordained by our Lord. It is not a maybe, but it's a must because it's to be done in obedience to His command. See, we do not need to pray, Lord, would you have me to go? But Lord, where would you have me to go? He's already told us to go. Not would you have me to, but where? It may be where that you work now. It may be in the area, the place that you shop, where that you bank, and I know that it's there. And you ought to be there. It could be in the regions beyond. And what we ought to do because of the love of Christ that constrains us. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing. You love me. You gave yourself for me. My life is yours. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Wherever you say, I'll go. Whatever I need to be, I want to be. Help me by your grace. There is such a need to fill this city with the doctrine that's preached by this church. There's a need to fill Flint and Detroit and all the cities and the villages and the hamlets with the preaching of the gospel of the Word of God all the way from Mount Morris to the uttermost part of the earth, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And I'll tell you another thing I believe that causes us to be missionaries. It's the overflowing of the love of God. It's obedience to His command. And it's an outcome of following Him. Look with me, if you will, the book of Matthew, or I'll read it to you. Book of Matthew, chapter 4, and in verse 19. Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The mark of one who isn't following is he isn't fishing. If he isn't fishing, he isn't following. Because Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so the why of missions, the overflowing of the love of God, in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, an outcome of following Him. And it's also an obligation that we have to lost sinners. We are a debtor. Paul said to us in the book of Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Paul talks to us about him being a debtor. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why should we be missionaries? We have a debt. Honesty demands it.
We have an obligation to preach the gospel. We are a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. We have an office that's called ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a new creation with a new commission. Our cause is representing the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto Him in Christ's stead. We do not have the power of reconciliation, but we have the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of His to present that message and tell lost sinners that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. We have the responsibility to declare how that men are dead in trespasses and sin, how that they are unworthy and unable and unrighteous, but Jesus Christ died to save such as that. That He died a sufficient atonement to save all those who would believe. And the demonstration of the fact that they really are His is they will have a persevering attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ so long as He lets them live in this world. So we have an office, an ambassadorship. We are a new creation with a new mission, and that is to represent Him. We have a new objective. That's to build the Lord's church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Then finally, I give you tonight from the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We ought to be missionary because there are other sheep. Jesus said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Think about the Jew and the Gentile. They have a common salvation. Have a common Savior. Must hear the same gospel. It's my conviction tonight that there are those out there who are not yet brought into the fold. I believe when the very last elect is saved, Jesus Christ is going to come for us, don't you? I believe that He's coming again to receive us unto Himself. May it be our testimony, as it was the Apostle Paul's in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus our Lord with eternal glory." Let me ask you tonight, just how much should we endure? Just how much of ourselves should we be willing to give? Just where all should we be willing to go? I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul as he recounts some of his experiences to the church at Corinth. There were those ministers who were transformed as ministers of light. And Paul says, "I'm much more than they." Verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure." Paul said that I labor more abundantly than the false ministers. That's one thing about me. You and I ought to be the most abundant laborers in the kingdom work of the Lord Jesus Christ because we have the truth of the Word of God. I mean, if there are lost sheep out there, don't we want to be the first ones to them? Preach the gospel to them, that if it pleases God, He would use us to preach the gospel to them. We might teach them from the very beginning the truth of the Word of God. And Paul said, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." The Apostle Paul taught us so very much about the sovereignty of God, the electing grace of God. He demonstrated to us by his life the need of us going to the regions beyond, preaching the gospel, being willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice. May dear endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We teach for our glory. But the thing of it is, if we go and preach and no one hears our report, we have still been a sweet savor of Christ unto God.
Amen.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go to Australia. The Lord's burdened my heart. I'd like to be used to the Lord to preach the gospel, folks be saved, plant a church, so they would go, as I mentioned, to the outback. Wouldn't it be wonderful if churches all over Australia got interested in preaching the gospel in Brazil, in Peru, and Honduras, and in Murray, and Cairo, and in Texas, where Brother Larmon's going. I mean, that'll be the commission of any church that God plants. Be going to every nation, preach the gospel to every creature, and not be satisfied until they've used every resource that they have to reach every person that they can. Not for their glory, but that God might be pleased, and He might be honored, and He might be glorified in His church by the preaching and obedience to the Word of God. May the Lord bless you, and you pray for us, Brother Patrick.